And we'll take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to go to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. It only has one chapter. We're going to look at verse 22. Book of Jude, second to the last book in the Bible. If you go all the way to the end, you find the book of Revelation. Go back one, and you're in the book of Jude. A short book. We're going to look at verse 22 this morning. Again, we are in Gospel Focus Month. This is our first week. We've been trying to form the habit of praying for the gospel every morning, praying for ourselves as we go out and share the gospel, praying for people to get saved. We've been trying to form the habit of bringing tracts with us when we go so that we have them with us to hand out. And we set a goal for this month of handing out 1,500 tracts. That's our goal. We'll see if we can meet it. We're going to shoot for that. And so when you hand out tracts, kind of keep a mental note of how many are at least close enough. We're not going to nitpick it. And then you write it on the card and put it in the box that's out in the lobby, and we will total those up. And we'll total those up during the morning service. And so when you walk out, you can see the amount on the screen. It lets us know how far we've come and how far there is left to go. Kind of just helping us to motivate ourselves to share the gospel. Well, this morning we want to look at Jude and verse 22. I want to talk about the heart of the gospel and the heart behind the actions and words of sharing the gospel. So the heart of the gospel this morning. So let's read Jude in verse 22. And it says, "Of some have compassion, making a difference." The heart of the gospel. Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the gospel. We're thankful that someone told us that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, that he was buried, and that he rose again, and he lives as our Savior. We're thankful that someone shared that gospel with us. And Lord, as we look at this month about our responsibility to preach the gospel, we pray that you would convict us of that and challenge us to do a better job, to really do our part in reaching the world with the gospel. And Lord, as we talk about compassion and our motive for sharing the gospel, Lord, we pray that you would work in our hearts and concerning this matter as well. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How do you ever get better at something? There's probably a lot of ways to improve, but one of the ways is by watching someone who is good at what they do. By watching someone who is better than you, and then you try and imitate them. You find someone who's an expert, they're very good, excuse me, at what they do. You watch them, and they're like, all right, I'm going to do what they do. Ken Griffey Jr. was one of the greatest all-around baseball players that has ever played the game. And he won a number of awards. He was 13-time All-Star, 10-time Golden Glove Award winner, 7-time Silver Slugger Award winner. He played 22 seasons in the MLB, mostly for the Seattle Mariners and the Cincinnati Reds. Just a really good baseball player. He started playing baseball, he started being involved in the sport at a really young age, when he was really little. In fact, his dad was drafted onto the Cincinnati Reds when he was just 3 years old. So Ken Griffey Sr. played Major League Baseball, and so his son grew up going to the practices, going to the games, watching his dad, and he learned a lot just by watching his father play, and his father was a very good baseball player. So he grew up getting to watch baseball being played at a very high level, getting to watch these other players, getting to watch his dad play. And he talks about how he tried to, when he was little, tried to copy his dad's stance. You know, stand how his dad would stand and then swing the bat like his dad would swing the bat. He was just trying to imitate what he saw in his father. But then it was after Ken Griffey Jr. got drafted onto the Seattle Mariners, his dad also signed on with them for just a little bit so they could play together. And Ken Griffey Jr. would follow Ken Griffey Sr. in the batting lineup. So his dad would bat, and then he would have got up and bat after him. And he said, this is a quote, he said, "For 17 years that I lived in your house," speaking of his dad, he says, "I learned more about hitting in the 6 weeks hitting behind you." Like just following his dad in that batting order. He says, "I learned so much watching him as he would handle pitches and all of the details of baseball." But both of them made history when they hit back-to-back home runs against the Angels. Like Ken Griffey Sr. got up, hit one out of the park. very next batter was his son, and he did the exact same thing. And it's just neat to see this father and his son, and especially the son growing up to be such a great baseball player because he watched his father play at a high level. You learn a lot from watching someone who knows what they're doing. And when we talk about the act of sharing the gospel and the work of going out and telling people about Jesus Christ, telling people about how to be saved, we want to get better at this. So who do we watch? Who do we look at to see how to get better? The primary source is Jesus Christ himself. That's who we look to as our example. And so as we watch Jesus Christ in the Gospels, and as we read about him in Scripture, we find the ways that Jesus Christ served and the things that he did. We find the ways that he sacrificed and gave of himself and all of these things. And so we want to share the gospel like Jesus Christ did. Having a good testimony, we want to talk like Jesus Christ and all the actions of sharing the gospel. But you know how you watch someone for a while and you start to pick up on like the little things, right? The first thing you see is like the big parts of who they are and what they do, like the major pieces. But then after a while, you start to pick up on the smaller details. And you know, the more we study Jesus Christ and the more we learn about him, we find out that it's not just about what he did, but it's also who he was as the Son of God. It's not just the actions of Jesus Christ, but it's also the heart of Jesus Christ that we see in the Gospels. And this matters. The motive, the heart that we have, that matters to Jesus Christ. There was a point where Jesus Christ looked at the Pharisees and the scribes, and he rebuked them, and he talked about them as like a cup and a platter that had been washed on the outside but not on the inside. And we know that's unacceptable, right? In like from a dish standpoint, from a hygiene standpoint, right? I don't want to go to the cupboard and find a cup that's been washed on the outside, but for whatever reason has not been cleaned on the inside. And Jesus looked at these people and said, this is who you are. You do all the the actions that you're supposed to do, and you're doing all of this. He goes, but there's an issue on the inside. There's a problem with your heart. And for the most of the crowd that was probably there, they looked at those people and said, everything's perfect with them. Look at how great they are. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. And Jesus Christ saw their heart and said, you know what? I have an issue with that. I have an issue with the lack of heartfelt motivation behind the things that you're doing. Motives matter as much as movement. Motives, our heart matters as much as the things that we do. And go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. I want to show you this verse. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10. Doing all the right things on the outside, that's good for what people see. But God sees what's on the inside. And in Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. What does it tell us? If when God is getting ready to give us according to our ways, getting ready to reward us according to our doings, that he says, I search the heart. You know, it's like a mom who tells their kid, I want you to go clean your room. But then they add, and I am going to look under your bed and I am going to look in your closet, right? They're communicating to them that those hidden parts where we normally just shove things and chuck things under there, we're like out of sight, out of mind. She goes, no, those matter to me and I'm going to search those. And it's God telling us, what's on the inside matters to him. And he says, you know, when I'm getting ready to reward you for what you do, I'm going to look in your heart. I'm going to search your heart and know what's on the inside. This matters to God. In all the ways that we serve and all the things that we do, God says, I also want your heart to be right as you do that. Our motives for sharing the gospel need to be correct and need to be right. We need to have the heart of Jesus Christ. It matters for rewards, as we talked about. It also matters for faithfulness, doesn't it? And I think we've found this out, that it's hard to keep doing the right thing when you just don't feel like it, when you just don't have the heart behind it. And it's like we can only keep up for so long going through the motions and doing the right thing. if our heart's not in it. And God says, I want your heart to be in it. I want you to have the right motive for sharing the gospel. And as we read through the gospels and we see Jesus Christ, we see his heart. We see the compassion that was there. And I don't think we can pin the motive of Jesus Christ down to one specific thing. But we do find compassion playing a really big role in the life of Jesus Christ. And as such, then, it's a crucial aspect for us of Christ's likeness. As we try and be like Christ, and specifically in this matter of sharing the gospel, having a heart that is full of compassion toward other people is a big deal. It's a big part of that. So I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. It says this, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 14 and verse 14. Jesus went forth, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 15 and verse 32. Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Mark chapter 1 and verse 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, touched him, and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Luke 7 and verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. We find this over and over in the life of Jesus, that when he saw people and saw their need, it moved him with compassion. Compassion is caring, it's loving, it is having pity, it's having sympathy, it's mercy, it's that attitude toward people that are in need. Compassion is at the heart of the gospel. And compassion needs to be our heart as we share the gospel. You know, I've always said, do what's right whether you feel like it or not. Right? That should be how we operate. That we're like, even if I don't feel like it, I'm still going to do what's right. I'm going to still do the right thing. But while you do what's right, even though you don't feel like it, you work on that. You work on your heart. You work on gaining the right motivation. And so this month, as we do Gospel Focus Month, if we're going to glorify God during this month to the fullest, we need to have the heart of the gospel. It can't just be that we're going through the motions and doing the right activities, though that's good. Do all the right activities of sharing the gospel. But while we do that, let's work on our heart. Let's make sure that we have a heart full of compassion toward people, because that's how Jesus lived. That's what we see in him. It wasn't just him doing the right things. It was him doing it with the right heart. And so here's what we learn about compassion from the scripture that'll help us have the heart of the gospel. There's two truths I want to get across this morning. And the first one is this, that compassion is a visual development. Compassion is a visual development. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart, right? That's just how we work. The things that we see affect us. They have an influence on us. And so the more we see, then the more we care about something, right? The more you watch something, the more you spend time looking at something, the more you tend to care about that thing. And so there's two aspects then of developing compassion, right, through what we see and becoming more compassionate. The first part is that we need to see people up close. We need to see people up close. So if you're there in Matthew chapter 9, and verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The closeness, the time that Jesus Christ spent up close and personally with people, our eyesight fades at a distance, right? The farther something is, the harder we have seeing it. Right? And it's like you go to the doctor's office or the eye doctors and they have you do that chart, right? It's got the E at the top and all the other letters, and they have you a set distance from that to gauge. And you know, you can take your glasses off and maybe all you can see is the top letter, maybe you can see further down. But whatever your prescription is, and whatever you can see, if they said, all right, let's move you 10 feet further back, you'd see less, right? And if they're like, all right, another 10 feet, for every 10 feet you'd move back, you would see less and less of that chart, and finally get to the point where you could not see any of it, right? Further back you are, the harder it is to see things. And it's the effect that distance then has upon us. And what we find in Matthew chapter 9 is not a Savior that distanced himself from people, but a Savior that spent time with people and tried to get close to people, tried to get to know them. If you look even further back in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, it says, as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto him, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. This is who he was. This is what he did. He spent time with people. He got to know people, even the people that the religious crowd was like, we don't want to spend time with them. But Jesus Christ did. Closeness works toward compassion, and distance works against it. The closer we are to people, the more we're going to have compassion on them. And sometimes that distance that works against compassion, it can be physical distance, right? And I'm sure we've experienced this. When we read like missionary prayer letters on Wednesday night, and we'll read names of people that are in foreign countries that we have never met, and all we know are a group of letters on a piece of paper, and sometimes those letters can be hard to pronounce and know exactly how to say that name. It can be hard to have like true compassion for those people, and we try, but just the distance is an obstacle toward that. Sometimes it's physical distance, but I think more often for us, as especially for Gospel Focus Month, is the issue of like creating emotional distance between people, where we tend to keep people, even people that are around us, at sort of an arm's length, where we don't open our hearts up to really being compassionate toward them. Sometimes it's we're so concerned with ourselves and the things going on in our life that we don't have time to really let other people get close to us. And so we can struggle to have compassion because not necessarily a physical distance, just an emotional distance, that we're not willing to feel the way we should feel toward people. But distance is going to work against that compassion. We need to allow people to be close and get close with people so that we'll really care for them. But another aspect of developing compassion is not just the closeness, but also that we would see their need, really see their true need. And if we're still there in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 and 36. So as compassion is a visual development, not only seeing them up close, but seeing their real need, what they truly need. And so in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, we have Jesus Christ healing and healing sicknesses and every disease among the people. But then in verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What Jesus saw moved him to compassion. He had seen all the like the physical needs that they had, the sickness and the disease and all of that. He had been healing them. But he also saw a different need. And he saw it even in verse 35 when it talks about him preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But it mentions it again in verse 36 that he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This is, he saw their spiritual condition. More than just the physical needs they had, he saw their deep spiritual needs. And so they're described as a flock of sheep that's been scattered. And there are several reasons that a flock would be scattered. Maybe it's that there was a predator, like a wolf that had come along and attacked the flock, and they had so they had scattered. Maybe it was just they were wandering around trying to find water or trying to find food or something. But ultimately what it comes down to, and this is what he points out, is it's a lack of spiritual leadership, They didn't have any shepherd, right? Because a shepherd would be the one that would protect them against the wolves. It'd be the shepherd that would move the flock to the places that they needed to go to find the food and the water that they would need. And Jesus looked at them and said, they don't have anybody to show them what they really need. Nobody's addressing this. The religious leaders of that day were not shepherding the sheep. And the unrighteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, and Jesus Christ talked to them about this, it didn't just affect them. It also, because of their position as like the ones that the people would look up to religiously and spiritually, it impacted those multitudes. It impacted the people that were trying to follow them. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus addressed the religious leaders. And he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. There were some commandments that the religious leaders said were least commandments, didn't really matter. And Jesus said, no, it matters. You have to keep those. And he said, also, stop teaching them this. Stop teaching them the wrong things. It wasn't just about what they did. It was also the influence that they had on the people that looked up to them. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, he spake a parable unto them, saying, can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall into the ditch? The Lord says, this is what we've got. They're scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. The blind lead the blind. They're both going to fall into the ditch. What Jesus saw as he looked out at them was this spiritual need that they had. Someone had to show them the way to go. Someone had to show them the right path. He saw a multitude that fainted, and it means to be exhausted and wearied. They were trying, but not knowing what to do. They were putting all this effort in and not finding what they needed to find. What he saw affected his heart. He saw the multitude more than just the physical needs. He saw their spiritual need, and it moved him with compassion. He understood their need. He got close enough to the people to see this spiritual need, and he was moved with compassion. He saw, and it's even in this where it talks about the sheep being scattered, he saw the dangers that they faced. And there's another passage in Matthew chapter 18 where he talks about a shepherd going out to find the sheep that was lost. The sheep that somehow had been scattered abroad, going out, finding it, bringing it back because it was lost out in the wilderness. And a sheep does not do well on its own in the wilderness. It's going to die out there. And Jesus said, we're going to go and bring them back because someone needs to. He saw the need. And as he saw that need, he was moved with compassion. If we want to have a heart of compassion, it's going to be visually developed. It's when we start to see people, when we get close enough to people to really see them and to see what they truly need, to look beyond just the physical things and the physical circumstances of who they are and their life, to look beyond that and to see them as a soul that's lost and on their way to hell. We need to see their spiritual needs if we're going to have real compassion on them. And it's, in order to see that, we really have to be in a spiritual mindset. Sometimes we walk around and we're just in a purely this world, physical, got to get stuff done mindset. We need to have a spiritual mindset where our hearts are focused on the Lord and the things of God, and we've had our devotions and we prayed, and we're just in that mindset. It's when we have that mindset that all of a sudden we see more than just the physical needs. We see people's spiritual needs. And it's when we see that God fills our heart with compassion toward them. Compassion stirs in our hearts when we get close to them and we see their need. The more you really see people around you, the more compassion you will have toward them. So we find from, as we watch Jesus Christ and we watch how he deals with people, we find that compassion, it's visually developed. It's as we see people and their needs. But here's another aspect that we find, the second one and lastly. Compassion makes a visible difference. Not only is it visually developed, it makes a visible difference. Our verse that we started with, Jude, verse 22, some have compassion making a difference. Four times in the Gospels, we find the statement that Jesus Christ was moved with compassion. The movement of compassion. More than just having it, but that compassion then moved him to do something. It moved him to act. Compassion makes a difference, first in us and then through us. It starts by changing us, and then it impacts others through us. Compassion always moves us to help, right? Compassion never moves someone to not care, right? No one is ever uninvolved with compassion, right? It's not that we like have so much compassion that we just stay away from someone else. No one's ever fed up with compassion. I have so much compassion that I'm just annoyed, that I'm just so fed up with that person. No one is ever disgusted with compassion, right? I have so much compassion that I just turn up my nose at that person, right? That's what compassion does. It moves us always to help someone else. If a person has compassion, they will act compassionately. Every once in a while, I'll come across one of those before and after photos of like a dog that's been abused, and they're horrible, right? The before picture sometimes it's hard to look at because you'll see one of those poor dogs that have been, you can just tell that they have been mistreated, right? And maybe they have scars and their fur is all matted. You can tell they're starved and all of that. And they'll show that before picture, and you can just tell the sort of life that dog has led. But then you get to see the next photo, and thankfully someone has taken care of them. They look happy, healthy, their fur is much better. You can tell they're well fed. And it's just the difference. And the difference is that someone had compassion on that animal. Someone found that dog where it was. They took it from there. They gave it food. They brushed it. They loved it and all of that. It was someone who had compassion, was moved with compassion, and that compassion made a difference in that animal's life. And this is what compassion does. It makes a visible difference. You'll see a result from that compassion. And now, in the life of Jesus Christ, compassion many times moved Jesus Christ to do miracles for people. In Mark chapter 1, and I won't have you turn there, but Mark chapter 1 and verse 41, there's a man that comes to Jesus Christ with leprosy. He comes to him with this incurable disease, and the Bible says that Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. Heals the man from his leprosy. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, a widow comes to Jesus Christ whose only son has died. And it says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And then he goes on to raise her son from the dead. Moved with compassion, Jesus Christ performed miracles. But now, go with me to Matthew chapter 15. The problem is, we can't do miracles. So what does compassion then move us to do? And in Matthew chapter 15, we find another miracle that Jesus Christ does, but also we see the disciples' involvement. And we can learn from what Jesus Christ has them do. So in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? The disciples said, we don't have enough food to feed the multitude. Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and all were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. Jesus does a miracle, right? He multiplies this small amount of food so that it's able to fill the multitude. He does the miracle, but then in the end of verse 36, he takes that miracle and he gives it to the disciples to pass out to the people. And hopefully the disciples caught the Lord's compassion on this starving multitude, but Jesus used them to feed the multitude, right? And this is the picture that we get of our part, that compassion moves us, because we can't do the miracle that Jesus Christ can do. Only Jesus Christ can save a person. Only Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only through Jesus Christ. He does the miracle. You know what we can do? We can take that bread of life, we can take Jesus Christ and share him with the people around us. That's what compassion will move us to do. When we have the heart of the gospel and we see people and we see their need, it's going to make a visible difference in how we treat them, in how we talk to them, and what we share with them. It's going to move us to take Jesus Christ to them. Be like, listen, I can't change you, but I know one who can. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me give you this that tells you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is what compassion moves us to do. It moves us to share the one who can change them, the one who can meet the need of their heart. We can't heal their spiritual sickness. We can't perform a miracle, but we can share Jesus Christ with them. Compassion will move us to share Jesus with people. How could the disciples, right, in Matthew chapter 15, how could they see this multitude, and as Jesus Christ pointed out to them, how could they see that? And then as Jesus Christ handed them this food, how could they not then pass it out to the multitude? How could they hear Jesus Christ say, this multitude is starving, they need food, and then have Jesus Christ hand them this and go, I don't care. Don't care enough to pass it out to the multitude. I don't know. I'm just tired. I'm hungry too, right? And I've got my problems. And then have that and be in that situation and not have compassion to share it with the multitude. And how can we? Because this is the position that we find ourselves in as Christians, as believers, that we know what Jesus Christ has done in our life. And we have the gospel. And it's been pointed out to us in Scripture, the need of the people around us. Compassion then needs to move us to go and share what we have with the people that need it. It's going to make a visible difference. How can we have what we have and not be moved to share it with those around us? No one is ever unmoved by true compassion. This is the heart of the gospel. It's having compassion. It's feeling the needs of the people around us. It makes a visible difference. I want to close with two illustrations. The first one's in Luke chapter 10. Two illustrations of compassion from Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ gave and used with his disciples. It's a visual development. It makes a visible difference. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. This is the story of the Good Samaritan, as it's usually called. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. So Jesus Christ tells this story about a man. He's on the road to Jericho from Jerusalem. As he travels, he is beset by thieves and he's beaten and left for dead. As he lays there, two individuals come by. There is a priest that comes by in verse 31 and a Levite comes by in verse 32. And I don't think it's any coincidence that Jesus Christ used two religious people. People that had religion, yet they walk by. They see him and they continue on. There is no compassion in their heart. Religion doesn't bring compassion. Just coming to church and doing all the right things doesn't bring compassion in our hearts. We can do all of this and we can even do Gospel Focus Month and do it without having compassion. You can know the gospel but not have the heart of the gospel. But in verse 33, there's a certain Samaritan that as he journeys, he comes by. And it says, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He saw him and had compassion, but he saw the same thing really that the Levite and the priest did, right? They all saw this man on the side of the road, right? All of them saw him. It says, verse 31, that he saw him, and it says in verse 32 that he looked on him. Both the priest and the Levite, they saw it, and so did this Good Samaritan, but there was something different that the Samaritan saw. He saw him with different eyes because the priest and the Levite did not have compassion, yet the Samaritan chose to have compassion. He decided that when he looked on this man and his wounded condition, that he was going to have compassion. We have to let ourselves be moved with compassion. If we want to, we can harden our hearts toward people. We can. If we want to, we can see people and choose not to really see them. We can have eyes that see people and eyes that are open or just observing people. We can choose to do that and yet not really see them as God sees them. We can do that. We can have hearts that we just allow to be callous and cold toward other people and uncaring, even though we know about them. Because the Levite and the priest, they were religious, right? We can be religious and know what the Bible says about people and know what the Bible says about sin and death and hell and all those things. We can know all of that and see people and yet choose to just not care and just choose to be hardened and callous toward them. And the Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 17, "Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Where's the love of God truly in our hearts if we can have what they need and not give it? If we can have what would change them and choose not to share it with them? What does it say about the heart of the Levite and the priest who saw it and just were like, eh, walked right on by? And then what does it say about the compassion that was there with this Samaritan man? And I want to see one more illustration. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. If we don't want to have compassion, we won't. Two people could see the same helplessness and have different responses. They could see the same individual and feel different ways about that person. But one more illustration. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 23. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made." He's going to pay the debt one way or another. "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant that had been forgiven for all of that, he went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, just a little bit, not much at all. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him." And this is the story that Jesus Christ tells them. He tells them the story of a servant who was forgiven of so much, yet would not have compassion on another person in that same position. Not having compassion when we've been given compassion. How can we have freely received the compassion of Jesus Christ, the mercy of Jesus Christ, the love and the care of Jesus Christ, and understand that and enjoy that, and yet not be willing to then give that to someone else? To receive compassion but not be willing to give compassion. To be so thankful for all that God has done for us and not be willing to be moved with compassion to do something for someone else. Compassion is the heart of the gospel, and it needs to be our heart. It should be how we feel. Do we have the heart of the gospel? Even as we try, as we take tracts with us and we're praying about the gospel and sharing Jesus Christ with people, do we have the heart of the gospel? Are we really full of compassion toward people? Let's make this a prayer request as we go through Gospel Focus Month. Lord, help me to see the needs of people. Help me to really see the needs of the people around me, and help me to be moved with compassion. Ask the Lord to fill our hearts with compassion toward people so that we wouldn't just do the right things, but we would do them for the right reason. And then that compassion would move us to really serve and sacrifice for people. I think it's going to be really hard to do Gospel Focus Month without compassion. I know it's impossible to do it as God wants it to be done without compassion. We'll find ourselves walking by people without seeing their need. We'll find us passing people by and not doing anything to help them. Compassion is going to make a difference. And if some have compassion, it says in the book of Jude, making a difference. It's the heart of the gospel. It's what we find in Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that he had compassion on us? That he had so much love and compassion that he would come and he would die for us. Do we have the heart of the gospel? Are we just going through the motions and not really caring? Why don't we ask Jesus Christ to really fill our hearts with a sense of what people really need? That God would open our eyes to the people around us and not see them just for the physical conditions and the circumstances of their life, but to see who they really are, what they really need. And that God would fill our hearts with compassion, that we would be moved with compassion, and that would make a difference. Let's close with prayer.